Now let's turn to the candidates in Senate District N, starting with the Democratic challenger, Ed Cullinane.
Good evening. Thank you. My name is Ed Cullinane, and I'm running for the State Senate in District N, which covers the neighborhoods of Kincaid, Sand Lake, Clatt, Ocean View, Bayshore, and Southport. For the past 18 years, my family and I have made our home near the Anchorage Airport. I've served in the United States Air Force during the Vietnam era, and now I'm retired from my career as an international airline pilot with Flying Tigers and FedEx. I'm occasionally called back to active duty by my lovely wife, Beth Ann, in support of her small business goals. I've served as the president of the Alaska Vendors Association. For the past 10 years, I've been a Cub and a Boy Scout leader to my son Christopher's troop and pack. I decided to run for this office because we do not have a long-term fiscal plan. There's inadequate work being done on developing a gas pipeline and alternative energy projects. I also agree with my neighbors that my opponent's unethical conduct is unacceptable. I appreciate KAKM for hosting this forum and for those watching and listening this evening. Thank you.
Now let's meet the incumbent senator, Senator Liesl McGuire.
Thank you. Well, good evening, and thank you so much as well to KAKM for hosting this forum tonight. It's been an honor to serve you for 10 years. I think this election, when you get down beneath all the rhetoric, is about the direction that we want the state to go in. What kind of a life do we want for our children? Many of us who sit around here tonight have grown up in this state. We're the beneficiaries of a great educational system, the beneficiaries of good roads and good future. But we've got a lot of work to do. This last 2 years, we've had an opportunity, as I've chaired the Energy Committee, to take on a couple of those challenges. In renewable energy, we have the resource base, a Saudi Arabia, if you will, of renewable energy. But we don't have the regulatory structure yet as a new state in order to take on those challenges and be competitive. So we've laid the path, but we have a lot of work left to do. In natural gas, as it's been alluded to, I think we have the worst option, which would be to do nothing. Natural gas is clearly the foundation of our society here in South Central Alaska. Without it, we can't make a way. So I've taken a leadership role this last year in putting in place a couple of different options so that if AGIA fails, we have an in-state gas pipeline project ahead of us. It's been an honor to serve you, and I want to thank again KAKM for being here as an opportunity for democracy to flourish. Thank you.
And thank you. Now let's welcome our third candidate, Clinton Desjarlais. And if you could, you're a nonpartisan third candidate, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go right ahead.
Good evening, Alaskans. My name is Clinton Desjarlais. I'm running for State Senate District N. It goes from Anchorage International Airport all the way down to Potter's Marsh. I'd like to represent our district, and I'd like to represent our state upon the principles of life, liberty, and property. And I fundamentally believe, according to our Alaska Constitution, our state constitution, that a government's purpose is to protect the rights of an individual and not to take care of his needs. And I fundamentally believe that families can take care of themselves better if the government is removed from their lives and protects their individual rights. Thank you.
Okay, now candidate questions, and we'll start with Senator McGuire. A question for one of your opponents, please.
Thank you very much. My question is for Mr. Cullinane. Ed, you know, over the last year, many international groups and national media outlets have ranked Alaska as one of the poorest places to do business in the United States. How would you improve the business climate here in Alaska?
Well, one of the first ways I would improve it is by the Lake Chocchamna hydroelectric project. In that project, we could supply electrical energy similar to the way Bradley Lakes has been providing energy since the 80s. And we could provide this electrical energy at approximately 330 megawatts of power a day, which is about a third of what the rail belt uses, and do it for a cost of approximately half of what we're charged today. We could then invite large data centers, which love cold climes, into our state and Anchorage, and supply them with inexpensive electricity, and thereby diversify our economic base. That's just one way.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you. I think this is one of the most important issues out there right now here in Alaska, whether we talk about energy, whether we talk about tourism. Alaska is no longer competitive as a global leader in many of these areas. One of the things we're working on in our office over the interim is launching a competitiveness review. The province of Alberta, of which we share many things in common, they're a Canadian province, albeit they share a population size that's similar and a resource base that's similar, launched one of these 3 years ago, and it's really turned their economy around. I think that on many fronts, Alaskans are ready to launch into the next 50 years of our history, but we don't have the tools. We don't know how we compete on that global level. And so I invite us, as we continue on the campaign trail these next 2 weeks, to really think about how Alaska can be the most competitive in all these areas.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Desjarlais.
Well, sir, would that be a question to...
For any of your opponents.
Okay. Mrs. McGuire, I have a question regarding the natural right to life. My question is, as representing all of us as Alaskans, I served on active duty, and I pledge an oath to defend the lives of Americans against all enemies, foreign and domestic. In a war on terrorism, I'm concerned about the right of living children inside their mother's wombs. Will you uphold your oath to the Constitution of the State of Alaska and the United States to defend the natural right of life of children inside their mother's womb?
It's an interesting question. The basic answer is yes. There are caveats that I feel are born out of my experience growing up in a medical family in particular. I think that we have to consider the life of the mother as well, and I think that's an important part about life. There are medical circumstances that are unfortunate that lead to, if you will, a competition between those two lives. And so I think that as we reflect on it as a whole, it's very important as a society that life is valued at the beginning stages and the end stages of life. That's what makes a society a good one. But the general answer is yes, but there are some caveats.
A rebuttal, if you wish, sir.
Ma'am, my rebuttal would be, according to the common law, the unwritten law for yourself as a lawyer, that the law of necessity dictates that regardless of any positive statutory law, we don't need a law to protect the life of a mother and their child. The Alaska state statutes already affirms that it is not an abortion to remove a dead unborn baby, and it's not an abortion if a doctor attempts to save the life of both the mother and the child. My concern is that unborn children are sucked up in a vacuum cleaner, upwards of 4 per day, in the state of Alaska, publicly known, and there is little that is authorized because of Roe versus Wade, and I'd like to see if you would be willing to help me to defend the lives of all Alaskans.
Thank you, sir. Now we'll turn to Mr. Cullinane. You have a question for one of your opponents, please.
Yes. Liesl, Alaska's boom and bust economy has resulted in a cycle of excessive spending and dramatic cuts. When Governor Murkowski was in office and we had declining oil revenues, you were a member of the majority of the House. At that time, revenue sharing to Anchorage was cut and support for public schools declined. This contributed to rising property taxes. There was discussion of using the permanent fund and even establishing an income tax at that time. If we have a dramatic decline in oil revenues tomorrow, how do you propose we balance our budget over the next decade?
I think it's an excellent question, and I want to say thank you, by the way, for participating in the process and being, I think, bringing the issue of a fiscal plan to light. It's an important one, and it's true that when I began serving in the legislature, oil was at $11 a barrel, and we wrestled with these questions. I took votes on these questions. I do think that the first answer is narrowing down a government that you can afford. And that's a difficult conversation because there are a lot of needs at the beginning and end stages of life, as we've discussed. We have great issues of poverty, domestic violence, orphans in our state. And that said, I think we need to narrow down to a size of government that we can afford. Secondly, I think it's probably appropriate for us to look at what we would do with the permanent fund at some level. I think that Alaskans have become accustomed to receiving one, and I think that we can receive one as well as have a healthy payout to state government when that time is needed.
Mr. Cullinane.
The state legislature has repeatedly responded to a decline in oil revenues as if it were a crisis. We know that there is less than a third of the oil coming down the pipeline today than in the 90s. You know, in this forecast, we will continue to see this kind of decline. So we don't have that long-term fiscal plan, and we need people in Juneau that will get the job done. So my plan will accomplish the following. Limit the growth of the operating budget. Put the excess revenues into the Educational Endowment Fund. Fully funded Educational Endowment Fund will do two things. First, it will reduce our state operating budget to a sustainable level. And second, it will allow the state to fully fund education and cut local property taxes of Anchorage by more than half. So one of my first acts will be to sponsor legislation to finally establish a long-term fiscal plan that will lead to lower property taxes in Anchorage.
Thank you. Now, the host will have a couple of questions, and we'll start with Mr. Desjardins. And the question is this. What can the Alaska legislature do to increase access to health care and help control costs? For the last couple of days, I haven't heard anything on this show except people don't like Barack Obama's plan. What's your plan?
Sir, I really believe in the old-fashioned way that my grandparents lived by. I understand that fundamentally a doctor's license is an unconstitutional law if it's required. Therefore, if somebody wants to contract with a doctor for services with a caveat emptor, buyer beware, he should be able to, in his free will, have any medical services he wants for his own life. Therefore, if somebody wants a service, they can pay for it with cash, without any government restrictions, and they can actually take care of their own needs according to their own desires.
Okay, Senator McGuire.
Can you repeat the question? The
question was essentially, what can the legislature do about the cost of health care and access to health care for Alaskans who are having difficulty getting it?
Good question. One of the first things that we did this last year was to put a pilot in place for a triage clinic for seniors. As I've gone door to door again, it's the 65-year-old population and above that is really reaching out and saying, we've worked our whole lives to set aside money and it's still not enough. We're forced to go on Medicare and the doctors that we've been seeing our whole lives are not letting us in. So one of the first things we did this last year is put aside money to start these innovative clinics that would triage. Secondly, obviously Denali Kid Care. It's controversial, I recognize that. I happen to be a supporter of it at some level. I think that helping, again, our most vulnerable citizens here in the state of Alaska, particularly at the beginning stages of life, in the preventative care arena is something that we can do to bring down costs of medical care over the long term.
Thank you. Mr. Cullinane.
Well, I believe that the federal plan can help the state plan. And I've been apprised of that as I turn 65 next year. My own personal physician has said that I would not be able to be served by his services because I have to go on Medicare at age 65, as does everyone. Well, he just found out recently that the federal government will allow him to keep me as a patient at the full rate, and he will be able to give me a physical every year, and the rest of the year, the services are paid for. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to stick with you, Mr. Cullinane. What can the state of Alaska do to increase the throughput of the Trans-Alaska pipeline? As we know, it's been declining, and there's a need for more oil.
Well, as I understand it, they're drilling now at Point Thompson, and the oil that is in reserve in the grounds could be pumped out. And I think it's incumbent upon the state to either have the producers pump that oil or pay for it by a tax if they won't pump it out of the ground.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you. A few things. The first thing that we can do in the most immediate sense is supporting development of the Outer Continental Shelf. The Berger field that is under development by Shell right now could bring in within the next 6 years up to 1 million barrels a day of crude oil, which would extend that life. Secondly, I've proposed the idea of gas to synthetic crude, creating a plant on the North Slope. They have these in South Africa. They have them in Qatar. Taking gas as a base, we can create through a Fischer-Tropsch process crude oil, which would also extend the life of the Trans-Alaska pipeline. And finally, a competitive tax system. Again, as I referred to earlier, looking at how Alaska can be globally competitive so that we get more out of the viscous oil. The heavy oil in Prudhoe Bay is another way to extend that life, and it is critical to the future of our state.
Mr. Desjardins.
Yes, sir. Thank you. My simple answer to how do we resolve the Trans-Alaska Pipeline issue is it's a constitutional issue. In Alaska Constitution, we have a fundamental flaw. In Article 12, Section 12, it reads, "The state of Alaska and its people forever disclaim all right and title in or to any property belonging to the United States or subject to its dispositions and not granted or confirmed to the state or its political subdivisions by or under the act admitting Alaska to the Union." I find nowhere in the United States Constitution that I pledge to uphold where the federal government can own any land inside a state except for a military base or a federal building. We need to take our land back. The legislature needs to write a constitutional amendment and appeal that, change this language, and we need to take ANWR and control it for ourselves and make a pipeline to Valdez.
Okay. Now we're going to turn to our closing statements, and we'll stick with you, sir, Mr. Desjardins.
Thank you very much, Alaskans. Thank you, KAKM. I'm here running for life, liberty, and property. I fundamentally believe that our founding fathers had a great solution with the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal in the eyes of God and have certain unalienable rights, and that a government's responsibility is to protect those rights. I believe that your property is your property, and that the government should not tax your private property of your land or your car or anything else, and if no service should be provided at the barrel of a gun. I believe that if we uphold our constitutional oaths, we will rectify the situations that are facing our nation, and we will lead ourselves to a more prosperous state of Alaska. Thank you.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you. I see a bright future for Alaska, and that's the reason that I decided to run again. I see an Alaska where renewable energy is at the forefront of an emerging part of our economy, where the Trans-Alaska Pipeline is full and continuing to be the backbone of both our energy future and our economic future. I think natural gas will play a huge role in our future as well, and I see a bright future for Alaska globally. All of those things are going to take work. It's been an honor these last 2 years to serve you, in particular, to get out throughout the state and meet in rural Alaska and larger communities to hear your thoughts about the energy needs that we have and the future of our great state. I still believe that we live in the best place on the earth, and I'm delighted to raise my son here, to have lived here my whole life, and to have served you in South Anchorage. I would appreciate your vote again on November the 2nd.
Mr. Colonnade, you will have the last word among the candidates for in this race.
Thank you, Michael. My name is Ed Colonnade, and I'm running for the Alaska State Senate. I'm running because I believe Alaska needs a fiscal plan that protects the interests of all Alaskans. Plans for the natural gas pipeline are not moving forward and do not emphasize the importance of providing maximum value to all Alaskans. In the meantime, Alaska can use alternative energy to help provide jobs and reduce energy costs, but only if the interests of all Alaskans are put ahead of special interests. I want to be part of a new state government that thinks big, protects the interest of all Alaskans, and is willing to do what is necessary to tackle difficult problems. If elected as your next senator, I will fight for your needs. Public service is an honor, and I would be honored to have your vote on November 2nd. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, all the candidates in this panel. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with some more candidates for the House of Representatives. Join us.